Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
We are continuing our series on margin that we started last week. And by the way, if you take out your bulletin this morning, our sermon notes are in a little bit different format. Instead of being on the back like they've been, they are now on an insert inside. So if you take the insert out, and this is where you take your sermon notes, but if you also open it up, you'll notice on the inside, it says Life Group Homework. Now, how many of you like homework? A couple of you do. How many know homework helps you grow? If you didn't have homework, you wouldn't grow, right? This is really discipleship. We're going to be using these questions in our small groups, but this is designed really for your personal discipleship. Even if you're not in one of our life groups, we would like you to take this home, because what this does is these questions on the inside take some of the themes that we touch on in the message, and they have you dig a little deeper, reflect and think, talk to God a little bit, dig deeper into the Word, and then most of all, apply it to your life. So this is something, this is a tool for you, for your own personal discipleship. And when we come together in our life groups, we have one group starting tonight, a group Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. There are still a few openings left, so you can be part of them. But bring these questions to your groups, and then we're going to be talking about some of them. We won't get through all the questions in your group, okay? Don't have a hissy fit if we don't cover them all, especially you melancholies who like to make sure you get everything in there, all right? We won't cover it all, but this is for your growth. And I know I was talking with some people this week about our groups, and they said earlier this fall we did kind of a pilot program with some people going through it. And some people said, you know, I found myself knowing that I was going to group, I listened much more attentively in service. And then when I filled out the questions, I was thinking about the message throughout the week, and I found myself really growing in God's Word. And that's what this is a tool for you to grow, because that's what we're about, is getting closer to Jesus. So go ahead and utilize this tool. And this morning, as we get into our series on margin, we're going to talk about scheduling margin, scheduling it. How many of you would have ever said at one time or another, I wish I had more time? Many of you have. Have you ever said, if only I had another hour or two in the day? You ever said that before? Remember a couple years ago painting my house, and it was like, if only I had another hour or two in the day. But then I got out my, you know, I got out these halogen spotlights and shined them on the house, and I painted in the dark. Jim Davis helped me one night. We were going to beat the band before a snowstorm came. And, but you know, man, so many times I've said, if only I had another hour. You know, if only I had more time to maybe get a project done, more time for my wife, or for my kids, or for extra time with God. How many of you ever wished you had more time for something you were doing, or for family, time with God? Hands up all over the place. What would happen if God said, okay, I'm now going to give you 25 hours in a day, and today, poof, all of a sudden now we have 25 hours in the day. What would you do? You know what most of us would do? Most of us would squander that hour away, and we wouldn't take it for our family or extra time with God or for those priority things. And the reason is for that is because our culture has a way of crowding out whatever margin we have left in our lives. That's just the nature of our culture. Think of the last time you had a surprise day off, okay? Maybe it was a snow day, or maybe there was a holiday you didn't know about, but you got a surprise day off. Chances are you did not spend it 8 hours in glorious time with Jesus, huh? Did you do that? Probably not. You probably, what, ran some errands you've been hoping to get done? or you got caught up on some work, some chores around the house. You got ahead in work, or you got caught up on emails. You probably filled it with those things that felt urgent to you, but maybe weren't really important. And friends, that's what culture does to us all the time. It's pressing upon us the urgent things so that we minimize the important things. And what we need to do with margin is we need to focus on the important, not the urgent. A few summers ago, our van was out of alignment, and I really noticed this. It wasn't too bad in town, but we went to Thermopolis to go to the hot springs, and the whole time, the van was pulling to the right of the road. It kept pulling, and I had to fight it to keep it on center. And friends, that's a lot like what our culture is. Our culture is always trying to pull us off of center, because here's the thing, you and I are out of alignment with God. By nature, we are out of alignment with Jesus Christ. Now, if you are not a Christ follower, if you, or maybe you haven't been to church in a long time, I want you to know we're glad that you're here. We're so glad you're here. But you might be here saying, Craig, what do you mean we're out of alignment with God? I'm going to say this, you and I are evil. Human beings are evil. I know when I say that, some people say they rank with that. Humans aren't evil. We're good. We're good. We do a lot of good things helping people. But here's the key. That goodness is on the outside. We do good things on the outside. In our inner core, we are selfish. If you don't believe that, look at a little child. And are little children by nature selfish, or do they share? They're selfish. All of us are selfish. We just get adept at maybe covering up that selfish side of us. By nature, we are evil. By nature, we are sinful, selfish. We focus on good old number one. That's our nature. The Apostle Paul talked about this when he was writing to the Christians in the Roman church. He said in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, "There is no one righteous, not even one." Did you hear that? Not even one. "There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There was no one who does good, not one." By nature, each of us, we seek our own way. We don't seek God. That's our natural alignment. And we are pulled away from God towards our culture. And what we have to do is we have to fight against culture, because culture is pulling us to a marginless lifestyle. It's trying to pull us into the urgent, into the temporal, into the menial things instead of the truly important things. Now, if you were not with us last week, you might be thinking, okay, Craig, you've said this word margin a few times in the message today. What is margin? I want to give you a working definition. We touched on this last week, and it's right there at the top of your notes. What is margin? Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. In other words, it's the difference between what you have and what you need. And as we talk about scheduling margin today, in reference to scheduling, margin would be having more than enough time. It would be having extra time. Man, what am I going to do now? Because everything's done. I've got extra time. It would be having time to help someone in need without wigging out and saying, man, I don't have time to help them. I don't have to have time to help a family member or a friend in crisis because I have too much to do. No, we could help without wigging out. Margin would be having time to listen to our children without working, either physically or working in our own mind. Have you ever had your kids talk to you and the whole time you're thinking about something and you're not really paying attention? Margin would be being able to listen without doing that. Margin would be having time to be interrupted. And get this, be glad about it. How many of us, we get interrupted, we're going, man, I don't have time for this. You ever said that before? margin is I can be interrupted, and I'm glad about it. I'm glad I have time to help you, to listen, to be here for you. Margin is having time to rest, to relax, and to reflect. That's having a great amount of time to spend with family, with friends, with God, and not being rushed. Margin for most of us is something we simply don't have. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 17, it's our text this morning. I want you to take a look at it because I hope this kind of establishes the trajectory of where we're going to go today, okay? Let's pick it up in verse 15. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Now, the Apostle Paul is writing this, and he's calling the church, the Christians in Ephesus, he's saying, be very careful how you live. Why? Because the spirit of this world is going to pull us off center. It's trying to pull us away from God. It's trying to pull us into the things that are less important instead of more important. And we must fight against it. And he said, don't be unwise, but be wise. The default stance of our life, of our carnal nature, is to be unwise, is to do the things that are not wise. It is to be foolish, to do things that don't line up with what God says. And Paul is saying, be careful how you live. Be careful how you plan. Be careful what you say yes to. Be careful what you say no to. Be careful what you invest your time and your talent and your energy and your resources in. Be wise. Don't be foolish. He goes on to say in verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. If I am living wisely, as the last verse says, then I will make the most of my opportunities. Because you see, the culture, the days are evil, and they are trying to pull me away from wise living. They're trying to pull us off center. So I need to be living wisely for God, for God's priorities, and for the eternal things that really matter. And then Paul sums it up in verse 17, therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I call this the Mr. T verse. I pity the fool. Don't be a fool. Live wise. Try to, as you go through your day, try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and understand what is God's will for me in this moment, at this point in time. Because if I'm living with that mindset, I will walk in God's will. I'll make the most of my opportunities. And wouldn't you say that's a wise way to live and not a foolish way to live? Yeah, that's what it's all about. Andy Stanley wrote in his book, The Best Question Ever. How many would like to know what the best question ever is? Some of you would. Well, I'm going to tell you. He wrote a book, and the essence of his book really ties in the margin because let's just say someone would come up to you after church today and say, hey, what are you doing this Saturday? Okay? What's the first question many of us would we ask ourselves? We would say, are we free? Do we have anything scheduled for this Saturday? Are we free? And we would say, and if it's clear, sure, we'll go and do this with you. That's a question we would ask ourselves. Or maybe we'd ask ourselves this question, is it right? The activity you want me to do next Saturday, is it right or is it wrong? If it's wrong, I'm not going to do it. But if it's right, I am going to do it. Now, those are good questions, but those are not the best questions. The best question I have for you in your notes, the best question to ask in scheduling margin is this, in light of blank. And so what you would do is you insert your situation here. Insert what matters most to you at this time. Is it wise? In light of this situation, is it wise? Is it wise to do this? For example, let's say in light of our future dreams and hopes, is it wise for us to make this purchase? Maybe your dreams and hopes are, we want to get a house. We've been saving money to buy a house. But now you get one of these opportunities. Someone calls you on the phone. You want a free trip to Hawaii. You get those, or you get those texts, you know, just respond to us. All it's going to cost you is, you know, $1. All you need is $1. You get to stay in this timeshare for a week. But what you don't think about is, oh, yeah, we have to get the plane ticket and the rental car and all of this. And so is it wise, in light of us wanting to save money for a house, is it wise for us to take this trip to Hawaii? Because it's going to set us behind. And so ask yourself, is it wise? You might ask this in light of the fact that our marriage is not where God wants us to be. Is it wise for us to take on something else? Or in light of the fact that we have two kids under the age of two in diapers, is it wise for us to do this? Or in light of the fact that we have a 17-year-old who's leaving the house in less than a year, is it wise for us to do this? We need to begin to live our lives saying, God, is this wise? Not am I free, not is this right, not is this wrong, but is this wise? Because as we do so, that is going to help us to live life in accordance with what Paul said, making the most of our opportunities, being wise, not foolish, and understanding God's will. So the question is, how do you and I schedule wisely? How do we schedule wisely? I'm going to give you two things. They're in your notes today. Number one, if you're taking notes, say no to many good things. Say no to many good things so that you can say yes to the best things. Say no to many good so you can say yes to the best. Okay? All right, how many think you can do that? I want you to say no to the good, yes to the best. Say it again, no to the good, yes to the best. No to the good, yes to the best. No to the good, yes to the best. No to the good, yes. You got to get this mantra in your mind. Is this the best thing for me, for my family? Right now, if you find yourself being harried and hurried and frenetic and stressed in your life, you just don't have margin, then you need to start saying, God, what is the best for me? The 12 disciples had to do this. They had to be very careful how they lived so they would be wise and not foolish. Because the early church was experiencing remarkable growth, and they were feeding the widows, but there was a certain group of widows that were being neglected. And so what should they do? And we read about this in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and we have the reference there in your notes, so you can look at it later if you like. But it says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, okay? They weren't just adding people to the church. They were multiplying. The church was growing exponentially. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples, and they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Is it good to take care of hungry widows? You bet. It's good. But the disciples had to ask themselves, is that best for us? And they said, no, it's not. We need to focus on interceding for the church, for the Holy Spirit to keep working and drawing people. We need to be spending time in study and then sharing God's word, helping the church to grow. This is what our priorities have to be. They said no to the good to say yes to the best. And each one of us needs to do that in our personal lives. We need to do that in our jobs. I know as a pastor, there are a lot of things that I can do. But I have to say, what are the best things? I try to take Mondays and the first day of the week, I try to get alone with God and work on my message, because you're going to get a lot better message if it's done Monday and Tuesday. And then I can process and be in the Spirit and hear what God's saying to me, that if I'm staying up to Saturday night at midnight, putting it together at the last minute. Boy, that was a good place. Okay, you guys don't care? All right. I'll just start waiting, procrastinating, if it's not that important to you. You see, I've got to prioritize what's important. What do we need to do? Think of your life every day as an empty bucket. You have 24 hours in a day to do certain things. And many of us, what we do, we look at what's going on, and there are handfuls of things that we have to take care of. And we look at, but I got my big rocks in first. And these big rocks are what's important. What are your big rocks? I can't tell you what they are for you. I can't tell you what your big rocks are at your job, for your position. What are the things that only you can do that really no one else can do? I can't tell you what are the big rocks overall in life, the things that really matter. You need to take time with Jesus and figure out what are the big rocks. Because if you understand that, you understand God's will. You'll make the most of your opportunities, and you will live wisely. Be very careful how you live. As wise, not as foolish. In your notes, there is a bullet, and it says, pick big rocks first. Pick the big rocks first. Pick the priorities. And friends, if you do this, people are going to think you're weird. They're going to think you're maybe off your rocker. But God is not calling us to live like the rest of the world. The past couple of weeks, we've looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I'm going to bring it up again because it fits so great. It says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't live like everyone else in the world lives. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Live wisely. Make the most of your opportunities. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Tying right in with what Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, understand the will of God for your life. I cannot be pulled in to the pattern of the world doing what is normal. Because, friends, normal is not working in society. What's normal in marriage? Divorce. What's normal with kids? Rebellion. What's normal in relationships? Emptiness. What's normal in scheduling our time? Being overwhelmed, being frustrated, being stressed, being hurried and harried and pulling our hair out. That's normal. But that's not what God is calling us. You know, when I say to someone, how are you doing? You know what the most typical response is? Oh man, am I busy? Man, do I have a lot of things to do? I mean, that's one of the most typical responses. I can't remember the last time I said to someone, how is it going? And they say, you know, I really don't have anything going on. I got all the time in the world. If someone would say that, you know what? A lot of times we think, man, are you a loser or something? I mean, don't you have a life? And this is what I'm realizing. Sometimes we make a merit badge, a spiritual merit badge, by how busy we are. And we equate busyness with importance. Just because we're busy doesn't mean we are doing what is important. Busyness does not guarantee productivity. Many people today are doing busy things, but in the reality of life, They're just little things. They're useless. They're not focusing on the big rocks of life. And we get so caught up with the little things that we neglect the weightier matters of life. I want to challenge you today to begin to say, I'm not going to live like the rest of society. I'm going to do Romans chapter 12. I'm not going to be conformed to the pattern of this world. I'm going to begin to think differently. What is wise? How do I make the most of the opportunities that God is giving me? There have been times when I've asked to been served on boards or committees, and a lot of times I'll think about it, I'll pray about it, I'll talk to my wife about it, and I'll say, what do you think? And you know, she'll ask me kind of two questions. Is this best for us, and is it God's will? If it's not, then I say no. And sometimes I feel bad, like, just say no? I mean, don't I need to give a reason? No. You don't need to give a reason. No is a complete sentence, right? Can you say no, or do you get overcommitted? Because there's a lot of people, there are some people that are robbed of meaning in life because they're not committed. They're not committed to anything. But there's a lot of people that are robbed of meaning of life because they're overcommitted. They're saying yes to many good things instead of the best things, and so they're missing out on what really matters. Can you say no? Practice it with me.
No.
Okay, that's about a third of you. Okay, try it again.
No.
All right, we're about maybe 66%. Okay, one more time.
No.
No. Yeah, you can say no. Listen to the Spirit of God, what he's saying. In light of this, is it best? Sometimes it's saying no to technology. Ooh, is it quiet in here? Some of you wish I wouldn't have said that. You know, oh man, I wish I had more time, but I spent hours playing Candy Crush on my smartphone. Or watching Netflix. Or Facebooking, you know, I got to keep up, and 2 hours later, oh, I just wish I had more time. Do you know they say that the average American, this is an article of USA Today, the average American spends 28 hours a week watching television. 28 hours a week. Do you realize that is more than three productive work days? If you work an 8-hour day, that's three of them, or 24. 28 hours is equal to 3 hours at your job, or excuse me, 3 days at your job. And yet, we say, I don't have time. Yet the average American, by the time they're 70, will have spent 10 years in front of the boob tube. Is that wise? It's normal. But it's not being transformed by the renewing of your mind. What would happen if God's people, children, teenagers, moms, dads, grandparents, would start to say, is this wise use of my time at home, at work, in the evenings, in the mornings? What would take place in our families, in our businesses, in our church? Man, I don't have any time to be involved in ministry, but I got 28 hours that I can watch the television. What would transform in our society? The first key of scheduling wisely is saying no to many good things so that we can say yes to the best. Not to the dress, not yes to the dress, but yes to the best, all right? That's the first way to schedule wisely. Secondly, the second way to schedule wisely in your notes is to redefine progress and success to include relationships. Redefine progress and success to include relationships. Dr. Richard Swenson wrote a book back in the 90s called Margin, and even though some of the things in there are a little dated, because of technology has changed, he nails it and hits it right on. And Swenson argues that progress is the enemy of margin. This is what he says in page 95 of his book. Margin was an unrecognized possession of the peoples of the past. Throughout most of the history of the world, margin existed in the lives of individuals as well as societies. There were no televisions to watch or phones to answer. There were no cars, and travel was seldom undertaken. Daily newspapers were unknown. The media could not broadcast the cluster of events taking place in town. Churches and communities, they did not offer 20 simultaneous programs. With no electricity to extend daylight, few suffered sleep deprivation. Time urgency, day planners, and to-do lists had not yet been adopted by the masses. Instead, by default, rather than choice, people lived slower, more deliberate times or lives. They had time to help a neighbor. Their church and social activities more often drew them together than pulled them apart. The past might have been poor and deprived in many respects, but its people had margin. Swenson, in his book, says, I'm not advocating that we go back to the Stone Ages, but he says, we have allowed progress and success to really become the god of our society. He notes there's five environments to live by. They're in your notes. They're up on the screen. And the first two environments, this is where most of our success takes place, okay? Most of our success takes place in the physical environment, which deals with wealth, if we could show that, wealth, technology, health, and the material world, and the cognitive environment, which is knowledge, information, and education, dealing with the intellectual world. And he says, when we're talking about success or progress in society, it's basically, how do I increase my wealth? How do I increase technology? How am I more effective in what I do? Or how do I gain more knowledge, more intellect? He says, that's where progress focuses on, and that's where we spend the bulk of our time. That's what society says is important. The last three environments, however, Swenson says, this is where we experience most of our pain. In your notes, it's the social environment of family, friends, neighbors, and the church. It's our societal world. By the way, all three of these deal with relationships. And the first relationship under society environment is a relationship with other people. What's your relationship with other people? Family, friends, church, etc. The next environment is the emotional environment. This deals with feelings and attitudes. It's the psychological world. And this is my relationship with myself. My relationship with myself. And then the last environment is the spiritual environment, which deals with the eternal and the transcendent. It deals with my relationship with God. And what Swenson says is that progress builds on the tools of economics and education and technology and prosperity. It deals with the material world and the intellectual world. If we get a good job or a promotion, that means more money for us. It gives us more money to buy bigger things. If our kids get good education or they get scholarships for music or band, then they can go on to college and they can get good jobs and they can be prosperous and live the American dream. He says so much of our lives revolve around those top two areas of success, of physical and educational success. But he says we neglect the relational side of life. We neglect it. In fact, in his book, I just want to read something. He said, where do you think God would have us search for answers regarding drugs, crime, divorce, suicide, depression, teen pregnancy, sexually transmitted diseases, and litigation? In the material and cognitive realms, those first two, or in the relational ones? Our society tries in vain to remedy these problems using the popular notions of progress. Appropriating more money, that is the material and the physical answers, and by setting up more classes, that is cognitive and educational answers. Don't we see government doing that? If we just have more classes, more education, throw more money at this problem, we'll solve it. We're trying to solve our problems that are relational with education and with money. Swenson says, insufficient funds and lack of education are not the problems. The problem is a lack of love. It's about relationship. We do not define a successful day or that I've made progress as by how is my relationship with Jesus today? How is my relationship with my husband, my wife, my kids, with my friends, my church family? How is my relationship with myself? Some of you say, what do you mean, Craig, your relationship with self? Am I supposed to talk to myself and have a conversation? No. But do I take time for reflecting and for thinking and evaluating where I'm at? Do I take time for rest? Many of us, we can't remember the last time we've taken a day off. Some of you, you have plans today. I have to work on this project, and right as soon as church is done, I'm jetting home because I have to work. God has given us a commandment. It's one of his top 10. It made his top 10 list to keep holy the Sabbath and abstain from work. And some of you say, but Craig, I'm so important. You don't know all the things I have to do. I have to work to get it done. Let me ask you this. Do you think God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, knows what he's talking about? When God says work 6 days and rest one, I almost said rest seven. Wouldn't that be nice? Work 6 days and rest one. Do you think he knows what's wise for us? And that if we take time for refreshing and renewing and resting, that we can be more productive the other 6 days of the week? You can trust. It's just like tithing. You can trust him with the tithe. You can trust him with the Sabbath. Some of you have no problem tithing, but when it comes to taking a Sabbath, that's tough. Some of you, you boast, well, I haven't taken a vacation in a year. Is that wise? Friends, our society is running amok because we have neglected relationship. You know how important relationship is? Jesus said, you want to know what really matters in life? I'll tell you the top two things that matter in life. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Jesus was asked, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Friends, God defines success. What matters, what's most important, as loving God and then loving people. I want you to take a look at your bulletin this morning, the front cover. It's our new design. And in the brown box, it says, where relationships matter most. That's not a new slogan. If you get all of your old bulletins, it's been on there for years. But friends, there's a reason we have this as our slogan. Because we need to realize that my relationship with God and my spouse, if I'm married, my children, the body of Christ, with family and friends, that's what matters most. Oh, my kid's got to get that scholarship. I don't know how I'm going to afford college. You know what? God will provide. He's a provider. You don't have to work 7 days a week and never have time for family, never have time for God. Don't let the urgent squeeze out the important. Be wise. Align yourself with God. Don't get pulled off center from society. Prove that good and acceptable will of God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.